Good morning. I am not Amanda. Just a little bit of a smaller version, so I guess you're confused. Welcome back to the continuation of our study in Proverbs, and also a new year, which is really weird to say. If you're new or just joining us, welcome. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the past messages that are available online. I highly recommend it as they are rich in wisdom and instruction. The book of Proverbs is chock full of information and wisdom. It holds practical advice for living a good, successful, and godly life. In our past weeks, we've gone over wisdom and folly, the heart, the mind, the tongue, all the way down to pride and humility. The theme being that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Without the fear of the Lord, we run on our own understandings and lack a deeper connection to God and his purpose for our lives. If God is not on the throne of our lives, then something else is. Today, as we open our study on fear and anxiety, may we find the same rich direction and wisdom for our everyday life. Let's go ahead and pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this time of coming together. Lord, that we have a continuation of study, Lord, that we get to open your word, that we get to join together. And Lord, as we are going to talk about fear and anxiety, we pray, Lord, that you would calm it in us. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and maybe be receptive to what you're going to say. Use this message and the time together in fellowship to just melt it all away. We ask that you would just bless this word, Lord, and we thank you. Amen. So again, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Samantha Lane. My husband, Tom, and I have been attending here since 2010. We actually met here, so single ladies, take notes. Church. We've been blessed with two beautiful children, a daughter named Haley and a son named Graham. And one of the best things for us has been being able to grow in the love and knowledge of the Lord together with all of you. Fear and anxiety. What a topic for the new year. Fear is something that we all have experienced in one capacity or another. It ranges from the tiniest set-off to the largest, heaviest things of life. Fear can creep up in our lives when we least expect it, often being centered around our trials or comfort zones. No one wants to be pushed or stretched unless they know about it and can prepare, or have control over it and or accompanying it with their favorite chocolate to get through, speaking to myself there. Fear is the circumstance of life situations, and anxiety is the outcome, simply meaning that fear arises in us and becomes a groundwork for our anxieties. We create patterns of comfort, emotions, and even alter our lives to accommodate our anxieties. It creates a false sense of security, and we seek everything to make us feel better and safe, except for the one true power in our lives, God. The number one mental health issue globally and in the U.S. is anxiety disorders. With millions affected by excessive fear and worry, it affects over 40 million U.S. adults annually, while some studies suggest that there is a sharp rise among youth ages 10 to 24 after 2019. Out of those numbers, women are the most afflicted. All over the world, medicine is being prescribed. Therapy, meditation, decaffeinated drinks, even the increase of certain vitamins are said to help. If the world has all the healing, helpful things, why then are the numbers of anxiety rising each year? Fight or flight has been thrown around like it's a superpower. Yes, the world has fallen, and we are watching it get worse. But the strength that we find in these times should not come from the world. It is simply a false masking or a band-aid of a fix, a vapor of a coping mechanism. Fear and anxiety lie deeper in the heart. We women are no strangers to the concept of fear and anxiety. Why is that? We point our fingers at everything in our lives, stress, busy schedules, but really, women are doers. We want to make sure that everyone's comfortable and they have what they need. We take care of the things and make all the plans. We're social and relational people. We fall on, well, if no one else will do it, then I will, and all while calling it servitude. A lot of times that means picking up the reins in our lives and adding worry and unnecessary anxiety. While we know very well the word fear, it can also be disguised as a lack of control, sadness or grief, mistrust, pain, anger, perfectionism, procrastination, people-pleasing, or even practicality. We may not always label fear in our lives, but instead say things like, I like things the way that I like them. I'm just a strong, independent woman. I like my space. I don't need help. I can do that on my own. I just need my fill in the blank to feel comfortable, or whatever else we lean on. Don't get me wrong. Service to others isn't bad. It's with the heart that we do it. God will ask us to take on things and to say yes to. It's when we are creating these things because of our own uncomfortability or need to control, or even through our fears that we suffer. If God didn't ask you to do it, it's not yours to grab. Fear can be dangerous. We do grasp at whatever we can to try and escape or avoid what we think is to come. If we can get things so neatly fit into this box, then we can breathe and everything will be all right. I know this. I've had 36 years of perfecting my comfort zones. The truth is, if we're not leaning on God to be our everything, our all in all, we're caught in these cycles. Anxiety grabs its grip on our lives and we find ourselves helpless and hopeless. I love that God's word is full of people who have faced fear. It makes me feel seen. This is not a today issue. This is a human issue. Our hearts and minds are naturally inclined to think on self. How will this affect me? Or how am I going to get through this? We create plans A, B, C, and D in case things don't work out in our favor, so we can feel somewhat in control, or perhaps so we aren't surprised at what is to come. From Adam and Eve to today, we have stopped leaning on God to be in control of our days. Proverbs 16:9 says that a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. God goes before us and has written our stories. That includes the hard parts that bring fear and uncertainty. In Exodus 14, there's a story of the parting of the Red Sea. God has already given Pharaoh the plagues, and the Israelites are now fleeing from Pharaoh's army. Chapter 14, verse 10 says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness?'" Now with the enemy behind them and the Red Sea before them, they were not short on fear. There was no way out, no saving escape. Going down to verse 13, it says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you seek today, you shall again see no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" The story continues where God provides the pillar of light as a protection against the Israelites and the army. The Lord, through Moses, caused the Red Sea to part so they were able to cross safely. I don't know about you, but seeing gigantic walls of water would put some fear in me. Am I supposed to cross that? How long do I have to get across? When does the timer start? What if I trip and fall along the way? All of my what ifs would bubble up, and honestly, I don't think I'd be able to control my fears. Does that sound like something you would do? We see in the story that God delivers them. The waters come back together, destroying the enemy and saving every last Israelite. He provided a way. He was with them in the pillar, and he was with them every step that they made. And he's there for you too. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord." That brings comfort to me when I'm in a storm of fear. I don't have to have all the answers. I just need to trust and obey. God has it. He's never left them, and he never leaves us. I don't know about you, but I can't trust my thoughts and feelings. We need God's wisdom. We need trust and surrender. In Judges 6 through 8, Gideon's story is found. Because of Israel's sin against God, he delivers them into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. Gideon, in his fear, is threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide. Judges 6:11 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" He's hiding in a winepress. Oops. Yet he's called a mighty man of valor. Do you think that there is a greater picture that Gideon was not able to see, one that only God would write and know? Skipping down to verse 22, it reads, "Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, 'Alas, O God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. At this point, we see the love of the Lord meeting Gideon. The Lord knows where his heart is and comforting him with a promise, you shall not die. God has a plan to use Gideon to save Israel. At this time, the Lord tells Gideon to tear down his father's altar to Baal and build up an altar to God. He does it in the night, and everyone knows that it was Gideon who did it. Everyone is against him, and fear again begins to set in. Let's read verse 26. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just one more. Let me test, I pray, just one more with the fleece. Let it be now dry on the fleece, but on the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. I kind of laugh to myself whenever I read this story because I see so much of myself. God tells Gideon what will happen. He says that he's with him, that he won't die. And Gideon says, yeah, I hear you, but are you sure? I mean, did you mean to be speaking to another Gideon? All over God's word and in our lives, he has moved in difficult circumstances. There has never been anything that has happened in all of history that God did not know about. What I see here in this story is God's gentleness, patience, and our human frailty. I see Gideon relying on the comfort, hiding, cowering, and honestly doubting that God was able to use him. How many times have we tried to change the story or write a different way because fear spoke and our comfort won? And how many times has God proven that he's with us, that he sustains us, and he will make it through? Corrie Ten Boom has a quote that says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We don't know all the pieces of our lives, but God does. The story goes on, and God uses Gideon for exactly what he told him. In fact, when the battle was impending, God told him to lessen his army. Then the Lord said to Gideon that you have too many men to defeat the Midianites. So here Gideon's thinking that he's not enough, and the Lord is saying that he has too much. The Lord tells him to lessen his army, and he does, and the battle is won. Not by the strength of what Gideon thought he needed, not by the amount of men and their strength, but by God's strength alone, by God's perfect plan. We tend to look at the things that we need to get through or to strengthen us, what we all really need is the perfect, pleasing will of God. In our surrender, the victory is won. We only have success by his hand. With God, all things are possible. This isn't even all the stories that we read where fear creeps in and attempts to rob victories. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve hide from God in fear because of their sin. 1 Kings 19, verse 4, the prophet Elijah asks God to take his life because he's overwhelmed and exhausted. Matthew 14, 22 through 33, Peter walks on water towards Jesus and looks at the storm and begins to sink. Jonah runs the opposite way that God tells him because of fear. You see a pattern here. Anxiety becomes a tool for the enemy. If we allow it, it will come between us and the Lord. Pastor James said the other week that anxiety is fear reigned in your life. It's real. If you've struggled with anxiety, you know this. In those spiraling moments, you can't see past the end of your nose and you feel lack of control, pain, and an overwhelming sense to escape. For each person, it feels different. But the true source of comfort is the same. The answer to all of this is the same. I believe wholeheartedly that God included these examples in his word to strengthen us during our trials. His intent is to show us, through him and him alone, are we conquerors. He alone gets the glory. I have this quote in my house. It says, as we make Christ the center of our lives, our fears will be replaced by the courage of our convictions. This is my goal. Let it be yours. Less fear, more courage. Less leaning on the things that I think are true, and more pressing into his word and his promises. His plans, not my own. I want bold faith. The peace that we seek in anxious moments can only be found through the character of God. We serve an unchanging, loving God who cares about each and every one. The same God that holds the stars in the sky and numbers the grains of sand is the same God who knows your thoughts, your fears, and your future. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Isaiah 40:11 says he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs to his arm and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. I've said earlier that I've struggled with years of anxiety as a child. I would be completely dishonest if I said that I'd perfected it. But over the years and years of struggling, I can say that it has come up significantly less. It hasn't been without struggle, but it takes a training of the mind and an honest washing of my mind in truth every single moment. The second fear tiptoes in, it's our job to take that thought captive and remind fear who is king. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 tells us to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Keeping our thoughts stayed on him will drastically affect how our minds and hearts perceive fear. I had wonderful examples growing up of my parents seeking the Lord when things got tough. But better yet, I saw them seeking the Lord in the mundane. When fear arose in me, they gave me scripture and worship music. I never realized how powerful those moments were or how much I would reference back to scripture and worship throughout my life. On the daily, I find myself singing hymns and lyrics that minister to exactly what I'm going through. I know God puts those songs on my heart. I know that he uses those moments to speak to me. It's funny because my kid's favorite song at any given time is Fear is a Liar. I smile at those God moments that give me strength. He's always reminding me because he's so faithful. And there's nothing like going through anxiety and just hearing your child say, fear is a liar. Anyways, it's pretty funny. When I was plagued with fear in dreams, I remember my mom always telling me to call upon the name of the Lord. To this day, I can hear my mom saying, Jesus, 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 when things are hard or uncertain. The name of Jesus has been my lifeline. In crippling fear moments, I can call out to him and he brings me peace. Saying his name always takes my eyes off the situation and onto him. It says, fear, you are not welcome here. Acts 2:21 says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When we call on his name, we are actively declaring our faith and reliance on God for all of our needs. If you're struggling, start scripture memory. Maybe even ask a husband or a best friend to do it with you. Not a husband, your husband. Sorry. Let's lean on our husband first. Sorry about that. It'll be huge in your life as you press into his word and deepen your roots of faith. There is no truth like the truth of God's word. We suffer when we are not seeking him. Pray and ask God for guidance through the hard days and to bring to mind all of his promises. Pray to have a calm spirit within you and bring you hope for each day. Okay, this is embarrassing, I'm going to share it anyways. This Christmas season, so just a couple weeks ago, my family and I went to Coronado for a friend's birthday party. I was excited to go. And as we were in the car, the overwhelming feeling of cars everywhere and people driving really fast, being cut off, it just became all too much. I would sort of cower when I saw brake lights or assume that people were going to swerve into our lane. Drove my husband crazy when I'm like, oh, you know. But anyways, I wasn't in control and my mind knew it. I didn't plan on it or realize it, but anxiety set in. It happened so fast. By the time we made it to the gigantic bridge, I told my husband that I needed him to go incredibly slow. I'm not normally afraid of bridges, but suddenly all I could see was how narrow it was and how close to the edge we seemed. All I could feel was the fear. I closed my eyes and Tom, my husband, grabbed my hand and he started saying things like, oh, look at that boat, or oh, or isn't the view so pretty? I know he was talking to the kids, but my mind just couldn't handle it. Tears began to well up. When we got to the other side, I felt better, somewhat. I was able to celebrate and enjoy my time with my family and my friends, but I had to take the bridge home. I knew I had to face it. This time, I prayed before we left. We all began to talk on the way home, and about halfway on the bridge, I realized that we were on the bridge. I didn't even realize that we had gotten on. There was fog all around our car, but instead of, there was fear all around our car, but instead of fear not being able to see two cars in front of us, I felt held. I can't explain it. It was as if we were in a snow globe. The fog wasn't scary, it felt safe. It was like the clouds were hugging our car. I wasn't able to see anywhere except for right where I was at. It forced my mind to be present instead of racing at the what ifs. My circumstances didn't change. I was still in the car that I wasn't in control of, and I was still on an oddly tall and skinny bridge. The difference was that I prayed, and God brought peace. He gave me clouds to help me keep my eyes right where I was at. Elizabeth Elliot said, "Today is mine, and tomorrow is none of my business. If I peer anxiously into the fog of the future, I will strain my spiritual eyes so that I will not see clearly what is required of me now." My requirement in that now was to lean on God. I found sweet giggles and conversations with my family. I found peace that didn't make any sense. That's the God that we serve. Psalm 91, 1 through 9, so hang with me, reads, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall by your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Make God your dwelling place. We don't want to live in the world's fixes and spend Sunday mornings only receiving God's peace. We want to live there, to dwell all of our days. God can do that for us. I want to give you some verses to help squash your fears and remember who God is. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Psalm 46:1, "God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 23:1-4, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalm 139:10, "Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Zephaniah 3:17, which is one of my favorites, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Psalm 94:19, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." I want to sort of end with a poem. It's called "The Captain's Daughter" by James T. Fields. "We were crowded in the cabin. Not a soul would dare to sleep. It was midnight on the waters, and a storm was on the deep. 'Tis a fearful thing in winter to be shattered by the blast, and to hear the rattling trumpet thunder cut away the mast. So we shuddered there in silence, for the stoutest held its breath, while the hungry sea was roaring and the breakers talked with death. As thus we sat in darkness, each one busy with his prayers, 'We are lost,' the captain shouted as he staggered down the stairs. But his little daughter whispered as she took his icy hand, 'Isn't God upon the ocean just the same as on the land?' Then we kissed the little maiden and we spoke in better cheer, and we anchored safe in harbor when the morn was shining clear." Remember who your anchor is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we went over fear and anxiety, I know that there's so much more that we could unpack, and there's so much more that we can dig into, but Lord, I pray that it would just meet everybody individually where they're at. I pray, Lord, that you would be the dwelling place for us, that you would be our strength, that you would be our calm, Lord, that quietness that we need and that we crave in those moments. May it be a habit that we seek you and your word and not our comfortability. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would just bless us time with these women, that the words would be sweet, that they would be healing. We just thank you and we love you. Amen.